I do have one thing that's on my mind before we get started. You know, it's just very small. You know what I realized?
Yeah.
Right now, I'm really into the female gaze.
The female gaze.
Yeah, the female gaze. You know what the female gaze is?
Yeah, like a little.
So, you know, there's like two different thoughts, right? There's the male gaze, which is very oriented in like muscles and cleavage. And they're looking at women from almost an objectification type, like very objectively, right? Like they're objects.
Like they're objects.
Like even men. Like you look at Chris Hemsworth and he's like, oh, with all the muscles. That's not for women.
Yeah.
That's for men. Mm-hmm. That's like the male gaze, right? The female gaze is subtle. It's sultry. There's a lot of like slow, seductive.
Yeah, women are amazing.
Oh my God. It's okay. So
women are incredible.
Okay, here's like my favorite female gaze moment.
Men are so dumb.
They're just like arms, penis, cleavage, boobs, nipples. No. This is, okay, here's an example. Okay.
That's the male gaze.
Okay, this is the female gaze. Yeah. Here's an example. So I was watching Pride and Prejudice. Oh my God. So fucking great. There's a scene where Mr. Darcy is walking towards the carriage for, you know, Elizabeth Bennet, Pride and Prejudice, mm-hmm. or in this case, Keira Knightley.
Yeah.
And the camera pans at his hand. And my heart is already racing when thinking about this. Like, holy fucking shit. He comes in.
Yeah.
And as Keira Knightley is about to approach the carriage, he takes his hand and he touches her hand and then lifts her up.
Mm.
That move? Holy shit, bro. I was like, oh my God. Like, I felt it within my soul. I was like, oh my God. I love the female gaze. Okay, watch.
Are we...
Like he just lifts it up so gently with a lot of emotion.
Wow.
There's no cleavage. There's no like sexual objectification of it.
Yeah.
Rather, the image is like seductive tension.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, God. Like I'm getting wet just thinking about it. Another example. Taylor Swift's new video. It's with Miles Teller.
Yeah.
And what he does is in this fucking beautiful female gaze scene. The camera pans down as they're dancing, and he goes in and he wraps his hand around her dress right in the back section, like mm-hmm. right above, like right where her spine is, the back, obviously. And then he just pulls her in. Oh, oh my God. It's this.
Nice touch.
Right.
Nice touch and a pull.
Dude, the seductive.
Jonathan's a touch and a pull guy.
I am a very touch and a pull guy.
Yeah.
Seductive.
Touch, pull, Jonathan's in.
Oh, in, out, in. Hey. Seductive tension, man. That's wow. The female gaze. And the beauty is not really always the body. It's just everything within yourself and their self. Oof. Anyway, guys, hello and welcome.
Guys, welcome to the pod. I'm Noah Findling.
Hey, and yeah. I'm Jonathan Garano, and welcome to
The Bottle Club.
Yeah, well, we're about to talk about some things. We got a Discord, all that shit. Dude. Okay.
You open.
Okay, I'm going to open right now. So
Jonathan is, let's just, can I just quickly, sorry, before you go.
Yeah.
Jonathan came in, I was taking a nap in my car. He knocked on the door.
Yeah.
That was very scary.
That's very scary.
Scary to be sleeping in your car and get a knock on the door, but I loved it.
All right, good.
You had to wake me up. I was so happy to see you.
There was no, like, I wasn't a cop. I wasn't like,
no,
one
it wasn't
of those.
A cop knock. It was a very friendly knock.
Okay,
it was either someone needed help or it was my friend.
All right, good. Because I've had the cop knock once.
Yeah.
Because I was like sleeping in CVS and they really didn't like it. But for me, what did you feel like?
I felt like, oh, wow, cool. My friend's here. He's really excited. Let's do this pod.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Now we're here.
I'm so excited to see your face. Yeah. I was like, this guy's so fucking like, he's getting energized right now.
Yeah.
Naps, quick nap, cat nap equals
energy.
There you go. Yeah. See, we are on top.
We're on top of
the
same page.
Oh, my God, dude.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
And don't get mad at me. I have to know, though.
Yeah.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Why do you go by Jonathan and not John?
Okay, so.
I just want to preface this by saying, you've corrected me a couple times. I don't care. I'll call you by whatever you want. I like Jonathan better. I'm just curious. I wonder if there's a story behind that.
Okay, well, first off, Jonathan just sounds better. Jonathan, it's just like, ooh. I'm a very like audio person.
Yeah.
Jonathan. John to me equates to someone that is lazy.
Uh-huh.
Someone that is not charismatic.
Okay.
It's because it's like a throwaway. Like, oh, it's John. It's John. It's like a very throwaway person. Like, oh, that's John. Not memorable enough.
Yeah.
Right?
Where it's like, well, this. Oh, guys, guess who's coming? Jonathan.
Right. And they're like, ooh
Jonathan.
Who, like, who the fuck is that? But you say John.
Jonathan.
Like,
oh. John's.
But John's like, like, you don't care about me if you say John.
Jonathan's exotic. Jonathan is like. Yeah. Is like, oh, he's a billionaire, businessman, financier.
Or just like...
Jonathan.
Jonathan has some personality behind it. And John, again, is lazy. And also, in addition to that, you don't know if John is spelled J-O-H-N or J-O-N.
Yeah.
And aesthetically, I'm a very, like, aesthetically... You know, I love fonts, you know, yeah. That. John...
You just, love fonts.
J-O-N is just so ugly. Like, and J-O-H-N is so ugly.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? So, I don't want to be... I don't. When someone says my name out loud,
Jonathan.
And your subconscious is seeing the letters getting thrown to me,
yeah.
I want to make sure that it has the full fucking name.
Yeah.
In addition to that, I think about this all the time.
Your name?
Names.
Yeah.
Caitlin, that is spelled C-A-I-T-L-I-N, is the ugliest, one of the ugliest ways.
I will say Caitlin, just in general, even with the Y, it's not good.
No, no. Caitlin with a Y is okay.
No.
No, it is. It
kind of bad news.
No.
Not into it.
C-A-T-L-I-N?
Canceled.
Ew. Gross. What is that? Why do you spell your name with C-A-I-T-L-I-N?
Well, let's go back to Jonathan, though.
K-A-I-T-L-I-N, that's okay. But C-A-T-L-I-N? No.
Truly... Something's wrong.
C-A-I-T-L-Y-N, beautiful, aesthetically pleasing.
Jonathan is a really, it's a very pretty name, and I never thought about it till now. I mean, you could name a cologne line after Jonathan.
Oh, exactly.
This is the Jonathan line.
Oh, my God.
Jonathan line, you put it on when you go to a wedding.
Ooh,
Jonathan line.
Someone's screaming my name in bed. I don't want to hear John, because, but if you say... Ah, Jonathan. It's like,
wow. I will say
I fucking made her day. You
here's
know?
The thing about Jonathan, though.
Yes.
In bed, so long to say out loud.
But there's so much effort to it. That means you did a good job.
Jonathan.
Exactly. It's boom, boom, bam.
Yeah.
You know.
It's boom, boom, bam.
I'm hitting the A spot. You know what I'm saying?
What do you think about my name?
Noah.
Yeah. You don't like it? Kidding. Oh my God. I'm kidding. Tough crowd.
No, I do like. I do like Noah. I think. Noah is strong.
I hated my name growing up.
Well, because when I think about you, you're like, hey, my name is Noah. I'm like, oh, this guy is our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Noah's not God.
No, but I think of religion.
Yeah, of
right
course.
Away.
It's definitely a biblical name. There's no denying that. I hated it. I hated it growing up. I thought it was so like, it made me stand out in a way that I didn't like.
Mm.
But now I very much like my name, Noah.
What does it represent to you? Like when you think of Noah, why do you love your name now?
I like that it's unique now. I like that not a lot of people are named Noah. And I like, it just feels like a part of my personality. Like Noah means what I am.
What do you mean that Noah is you?
Like, I honestly don't know. I can just when I think of the name Noah, I think of myself. I mean, I'm very often the only Noah people know.
See, that's true. There's a couple names that are different where they're very unique for white people.
Yeah.
Like Noah, and I think of Noah like good guy.
Yeah.
Great name, unique name.
Yeah.
Good guy. But then you think of like someone named Keenan.
Yeah.
You're like unique name, cool name. Probably a frat bro who's going to do something evil. You know, like if I was a woman, right?
Can I tell you the name? Sorry.
No good.
Can I tell you the name that I wanted growing up?
What?
Which in your it falls very much in line with what you're just saying. The name I wanted growing up was Nick. Nick is cool, but I think it's also the name of a frat star who's, you know,
you're like, hey, ladies, that guy's Nick. Cover your drinks. Cover your fucking
Nick's
drinks.
Nick's coming.
Yeah, I don't like Nick. But also, I don't like Nicholas either.
Yeah.
But how do you spell that? N-I-K-O-L-A-S?
The thing is, a lot of the Nicks I know are great guys.
Actually, Nicholas, N-I-K-O-L-A-S, that looks actually really good.
Nikolai.
Ooh.
Nikolai is good.
Ooh, baby.
Could you imagine being named Nikolai?
Ooh, write that down, calligraphy style, baby.
Nikolai.
Ooh, women, if you have great penmanship, Jesus fucking Christ. Like when a woman texts you and says Jonathan.
Is that the most attractive thing about a woman, their penmanship to you?
Outside of personality and everything? One of the things.
That's so funny. Before we start dating, I need you to write some things down.
Well, I'm realizing now dating older women, like 24 plus.
Yeah.
That have
hilarious
women that have jobs and things. What's weird about dating them compared to someone in college or an 18 to 21 year old is the fact that they're not thinking. Of course, everyone's thinking about what they want to do with their lives.
Yeah,
but they're thinking about their next career steps, and in addition to that, they have purchasing power.
Yeah,
so they buy you gifts, which is really cool. But what? So you think Knicks are good?
I mean, I'm not gonna paint a broad brush, but I all the Knicks I know are good guys, but I wouldn't want to be named Nick. It's just not who I am.
I'm not
a Nick. So, I'm a Noah.
Okay, so let's put this. Let's look at this kind of like we're making like kind of like a line here. Like in the middle, we have Noah and Nick.
Yeah.
I want you to give me from the Nick. Is it Nick or Nick?
Nick.
Okay, Nick. But Nikhil, Nikhil is okay, right? Nick.
Yeah, but I don't think I would ever be named that.
Okay, so you have Nick and Noah. What are the top three, like, words that you think about when it comes to Nick? Go.
Nick, cool, hot, charming.
And how is that bad, bro? Oh my God.
It's not bad. I just wouldn't want to be named Nick anymore. I want to be named Noah.
I get this now.
Yeah.
You're finally at a point where you accept yourself.
Yeah, I like my name. I like what I've become.
So it's not really your name that you're into. Of course, your name. But it's like you're accepting your being as a whole.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't want to be a Nick. I don't want to be those things that Nick is. I want to be the things that Noah is.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do the next side. Okay. Noah.
Yeah.
Three words. Describe Noah. Go.
Silly. Nice.
Okay.
And hardworking.
Man, I would rather be called Nick if that's the case. Shit.
No, I like who I am.
No, I know you do. I'm sorry the way that you're describing
silly, it. Silly, nice, hardworking versus cool.
Charismatic.
Charismatic, hot. Cool, charismatic, hot. Silly. Nice, funny.
You know, I like it.
I'm a silly, nice, funny guy.
You are silly. Yeah. You know, I told my brother about you. His name was Gabriel. And he's like, dude, I love that guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
And not an L-U-V type love, like L-O-V-E, dude.
That's cool. So I get it. Now, that's why you go by Jonathan. It's just a better name. Can we have people chime in, too? What do you guys think?
Yeah, it flows. And do you guys think that C-A-I-T-L-I-N is just aesthetically disgusting? It's like Jeffrey with a G is so much better than Jeffrey with a J.
Yeah. I had a profound creative breakthrough this week.
Oh, what happened?
I figured out, with the help of my brother, a better way to manage my time.
How do you do that?
Before this revelation, I often would look at my schedule and think that I could only get things done in 3 to 4 hour windows, meaning I needed a lot of time to do things, writing, making sketches. I couldn't look at a schedule and say, I have a half hour here, I have an hour here, and I have 2 hours there. The rest of my day is filled up with stuff. To me, if I don't have it all, you know, blocked off for that one thing, I couldn't get it done. And I'm realizing this week through talking to my brother, because he has such great bandwidth and I don't understand how he does it. He has a kid, he's got a lot more responsibility than me. Things that he has
more buckets to manage,
more to juggle. Mm-hmm. But he, you know, gets as much done as I do, if not more. He's got a great bandwidth, and I was asking him. He's like, I really try to take advantage of any free time. And you know what I realized is, let's say I'm writing,
right,
I'm working on a movie. Before, I would say I need 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. to write. 10 a.m. to,
that's or fair, 4 p.m. Right?
Sometimes I have that day. Sometimes I have that ability to do that. That's great. But a lot of times I don't. And if I don't, then I just don't write. As opposed to saying, okay, I have 10 a.m. to 11 tomorrow. Let me just do it. And whatever I get done in that time, that's great. That's better than I was the day before. Like,
okay.
I think I'm approaching my work. I was approaching my work of like, it's all or nothing.
All or nothing.
I gotta sit down, start writing a script and be done with it by the time I finish, as opposed to just kick the ball forward. Because 5 days of 1 hour sessions, that's 5 hours of work. That's a lot. It builds up.
And you get to rest your brain for a second.
You get to rest your brain. You get momentum.
You don't burn out.
It's really just finding those opportunities. And here's the other thing.
I'm listening.
In those blocks of time,
yeah,
I'm not working the whole time. I'm dicking around.
That's true.
You know, I'm kind of being lazy. I'm only working for 10% of it. So
why not put the... Why not do the 80-20 rule where 20% of what you're doing is 80% of your results? And by scheduling an hour time, you're like, hey, Noah, no matter where I'm at, I stop here.
Yeah, but it's also like, what I think what I'm realizing is if I give myself less time and I say, you work your ass off, it's less time, you work your ass off in the time you're giving yourself. And then I end up getting more done in that 1 hour than I would have gotten done in 4 hours.
Oh.
Because it's almost like an hour of complete deep concentration, not 4 hours of 20 minutes on, 10 minutes on Instagram, 20 minutes on, 5 minutes.
Because you have a strict deadline.
Yeah, whatever it is, whatever it is.
Isn't there like a quote? First off, I love this.
Yeah, I
and have you felt like different results right now this
already,
week?
Already this week, yeah. I already noticed results.
It's kind of like you're pushing yourself to be disciplined, but because you're a creative and creatives thrive on deadlines.
Yeah.
Like I know that when a client says, get this done by Monday, I don't get it done till that Monday.
Yeah.
You are inherently creating kind of pressure on yourself to make something, but also tell your body like, hey, I'm listening to my body right now and I just got to stop.
Totally. I just think.
Am I right on the right track of what you're doing right now?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think it's about one, giving myself deadlines that I can achieve, but also it doesn't have to be all or nothing. If I can't finish the entire first act of something in one session,
mm-hmm.
getting halfway through that is still good. It's building blocks. It doesn't need to happen all in one day.
You're not going to get a six pack on the first try.
Yeah. It's like,
it's 6 months of 30 minutes of
just chipping away at it.
Right.
Just chip away at it. I like to think of any creative project as like a giant block of ice that you're just chipping away at and carving out and, you know, highlighting different places and making it perfect.
I love that. And you know what's great about that?
Yeah.
Is you're able to rest your brain for a second. And so then when you go back at it, you're refreshed and you've allowed your brain to like really think through everything.
Yeah. And I think it's just, why look at a schedule like that? Why not say, I have 20 minutes here. There's nothing I couldn't be doing. And again, I'm also not trying to say that you need to be the guy who's like, I'm going on a walk. I'm listening to a podcast. I'm reading a book. I'm calling my mom. Like I'm doing seven things at once.
No. It's like it's still one thing at a time.
You know,
specifically for that time doing that project.
But I think it's just giving yourself manageable deadlines, knowing you can execute within that deadline at a high level, as opposed to giving yourself deadlines where you have so much time that you don't even know what to do with.
And I love this because you're also putting yourself in a position. I think actually the best thing out of this, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Is out of creative, when you're able to sleep, your subconscious comes in and it's able to take all the data points of what you did earlier that day and create even something even more epic. So by the time you come back to this, again, not only are you energized, but you're actually more creative and willing to make that project even better.
I love that. I try to really get my sleep in. Like I don't sleep too much. But I really, lately, I just try to get 7 hours at least. And I try to make that a priority because I get very depressed, very anxious when I'm tired. I'm not giving people my best. So, you know, kind of what we were talking about in a couple episodes before of like, you know, you reserve a certain amount of time to deal with your shit.
Yes, I have to.
You know, if I'm not sleeping, I'm not going to be able to give you anything, you know? So if you want to work me or if I want to work myself to the bone, and not sleep, it's kind of pointless because the next day I'm not going to have anything.
I mean, not sleeping, you die faster, believe it or not, if you don't sleep.
Yeah.
And you're not productive if you don't sleep. So I'm glad you're doing this. I'm so glad you slept in the car so I could knock.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
So that way you're at least a little bit available for this, which is good, man.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I don't know. Did you know? So there's this book called When.
Mm-hmm.
And basically it states that average humans, you know, like you and me, like on a whole, like generality of type of situations, our brains after like 7 to 8 hours of sleep are at the best at its peak from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m.
Right.
And then our brains suddenly get to a horrible spot from around 12 to 4 p.m. where it's not functioning at its high, like as high as it could get.
Yeah.
And that is why, and they know this, is because a lot of medical mishaps in operational rooms happen 60% higher.
Wow.
From 12 p.m. to 4 p.m.
Right.
So try to schedule. And then your brain gets into like another high mode from around 6 to 9 p.m.
Wow.
And so basically it says that, hey, those are the times you should push yourself. That's number one. And number two, from 12 to 4, maybe take a nap.
Yeah.
Or maybe go exercise.
Yeah.
Because that's where you're not going to be functioning at your best.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's only and only if you get 7 to 8 hours of sleep. So does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. I mean, even when I think about that, I'm like, oh, maybe because I'm trying to exercise more.
Yeah.
I was an exercise fiend growing up. You know, and
he's got big legs.
And now I really just play basketball or tennis. But yeah. I honestly prioritize eating well and getting sleep. And
that's so much better, actually.
And I prioritize that over exercise because I sometimes feel that I just want to obsess over my work. But I don't think that's the right way. I think I need to get back to exercising at least 30 minutes every day or 30 minutes a couple times
a week.
And
you could do it like...
But in the afternoon, that's the time to do it. Because in the morning, I'm always like, let me exercise and get it off my plate.
But then you get so tired that you're not even fucking able to really get to work. Yeah.
So it's like, do the work when your mind is ready, you know? And then in the afternoon when your mind's shot, go run. We're out of here.
Agree. We're done.
We're done.
Zip up your pants. Let's get out of here.
What? But that was my profound creative time management breakthrough.
I love that. Yeah. The crew, that's something that you should definitely try out.
What else is going on?
Okay, so I want to kind of, you love your wife a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I want to test out, this is going to test a cool, this test that I want to try it on.
Yeah.
Is going to kind of psychologically, in a weird way, test the type of love that you give off to the world.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go.
Are you going to ask me to close my eyes?
No, I'm not close. So you're walking in the forest.
Yep.
Okay? You're walking, and suddenly you see a hut.
Yep.
The question is, do you approach the hut?
Yeah.
Or you just walk away?
Am I lost?
You're not really lost. You're on a trail. The hut is like...
Does it seem like everything's okay in the
everything,
hut?
Yeah, it's like it's just like a normal hut. It's bright inside. It's not dark inside.
I don't think I think I walk by it.
Okay.
If I don't need anything, if they don't seem like they're in danger.
Okay, maybe this will work actually because you are married. Okay, so now you're inside the hut.
Yeah.
And inside the hut, there's a table.
Okay.
Is it rectangular or is it circular?
Rectangular.
Okay. Okay, cool. Now, on top of the table... there's a glass.
Yeah.
Right? No, not a glass. Sorry. There's a...
a vase?
In the middle of the table, there's a container that can hold stuff inside of it.
Yeah.
That's probably going to hold liquid.
Okay.
What type of container... What does it have? Like, for example, is it glass? Is it wood?
It's wood.
It's wood?
Yeah, it's dark. Dark wood, yeah.
Okay, so So what's in the middle of the table is this dark wooden material.
Yep.
So that's in the table. Now the question is, there's water inside of this container,
mm-hmm.
this wooden container.
Yeah.
How much water does it have?
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Just covering the bottom. Yeah, not much.
Okay, you ready for this? Mm-hmm. You know what this all means?
What does it mean? you're a psychopath and no, you're out for vengeance.
No. I think it means really, I think it's something that's beautiful right now, okay. because of the fact that you are married. So it's like, you're not looking for love.
Yeah.
So if you see the hut, that basically means that you're open to new love.
Yeah.
You passed by it. You went past it.
Yeah.
I can't talk English.
Passed by it.
Yeah. You passed by it, which means that you're not really looking for love.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it's true because you are married.
Yeah.
You go, but if you're inside the hut, if you pick the circular table, that means you're really flexible with your love.
Uh-huh.
But because you pick square, you have, you know, a foundation of rules and values that you're not really flexible with. It's like, yeah, hey, this is my version of love.
Yeah.
If anybody tries to destroy it, yeah, that goes against my values, nuh-uh. The container in the middle of the table,
yeah,
showcases the type of heart you have.
Yeah.
No, this is good. Your heart is not glass. Your heart is not metal. Your heart is wood, right? That means it holds a lot of great things inside of it, but it's also like not hard. It's very like malleable. At the same, yeah, time, it's wood. It's nice.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah.
Now the amount of water that's inside of,
yeah,
it, that determines how much love you're willing to receive right now.
Oh.
And I think you already have it because remember, you're passed by the hut. You're already married, so you don't need
Wait,
it.
Wait, but so the
like receiving gift.
I have a little bit of water in it. Does that mean I'm only willing to receive a little bit of water?
Yeah.
But the container is almost
sorry,
empty.
Sorry, give, yeah.
So I'm only able to give a little bit of water.
Yeah, you're only, that's it, sorry, I apologize. The amount of water, determines how much you're willing to give right now.
How much love you're willing to give.
Yeah.
Does it also determine how much you're willing to receive?
I think that's probably determined on, no, I don't know, it doesn't say.
Interesting.
So what do you think about that?
I think it's kind of spot on.
Right?
I mean, definitely feel like I have a lot of love to give, though. That's the only one that, but I wonder if there's a practical element of,
I mean, I think it's like,
I only have so much right now love to give. I mean, I'm giving it in a lot of places.
You're giving it to someone that you're married to.
Yeah, but I'm also giving it to the things I work on. And
right, but I'm saying is like, you don't need to give it to anybody else right now but your wife and the close people in your life.
My dog.
And your dog.
Yeah.
And I know that you're giving a little love to me too, which is,
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, I'm giving you some love. I love my dog so much.
You do?
So much.
What's the name,
man,
of the dog again? Butters?
Her name's Red.
Red, that's right.
Did I ever tell you a story about when I decided to get her?
Tell me the story about how you got your dog.
So Sid and I, my wife and I, had been fostering many dogs.
Oh.
We fostered like 7 dogs over the course of 5 months, just trying to, you know, test it out. I've never had a dog before, see how it works with our lifestyle. The dog, they're all rescues that we foster and, you know, very sweet animals, but they're crazy. These animals were nuts. One of them couldn't walk with her back legs. I had to pick her up. Every time I picked her up, she would bite me.
Oh, no.
The other one had to sleep in my wife's arms or she'd have a panic attack. Another one's vagina was on the outside of her body.
Of course.
She was going to have a lot of health problems.
Oh, my God. Just a
whole range of bad fostering situations. Another dog literally would bark violently every time it saw another dog. Very scary. Finally, we're like, maybe we should buy a fucking dog.
No.
Maybe enough of these rescues.
Adopt, don't shop, baby.
Okay. And we sort of entertained the idea, but then the woman who had been helping us with these fosters was like, I got one more dog I think is a good fit for you. So we're like, okay. We drive to North Hollywood. We pull up to her house. And on the lawn is a beautiful Chihuahua Basenji, just happy as a clam, jumping up and down, just like couldn't be happier, not really barking. She's small, but not too small. And Sid and I are like, this is it. This is what we wanted. This is a perfect dog. So we're like, we'll foster her.
Yeah.
You know, see how it goes. Take her home. She's so scared at first, like, she's just following me around, but every time I go to pet her, she runs away. But then I turn around and go walk somewhere, and she starts following me again. And she's scared of her leash, you know. finally, we give it some time. And I build up her confidence. She gets good on leash. And I think I'm going to take her for a hike. Because this is a big part of why I wanted a dog. I want to go on hikes.
You're testing.
I wanted to do athletic things with my dog.
You don't want to get, you want to make sure that your dog kind of like, it's like an excuse to go outside.
Yeah. So I pack her up a little go bag. We go to the Elysian Park Trail in LA. And we start hiking. And at the time I had one of those retractable leashes. And I'm fuddling with my bag, and I drop the leash.
No.
It makes a really loud noise.
No.
Scares Red. The leash starts to retract back at her. Red takes off.
No.
Thinking she's being chased.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, again, she's very scared at this time.
She's young.
She's, you know, 8 months, and she is so fast. And I just take off after her. I am running so hard, screaming on the top of my lungs, Red!
Oh my God.
Red!
Oh my God.
Screaming. I'm literally crying. I'm like, because I can see at the end of the trail is a road that cars are coming. And I'm like, I'm going to lose her.
Yeah, she's going to get hit.
I just got this dog and I think she's the one and she's going to die. So I'm running after her. I'm screaming her name as loud as I can.
Yeah.
Like, I look like a basic bitch. I'm like a white man. I'm a white man running on a trail after what looks like a chihuahua.
Yeah.
You know, she looks like a chihuahua. And I'm just screaming her name. And finally, she kind of, right before the road, she just veers off into a pit of like a little grassy patch.
Yeah.
And she's so scared. And she's like, you know, I don't know where she's going to go, if she's going to take off because the thing's still retracting at her. I see these dudes come down the mountain. I'm like, fellas, guys, look, I know I don't know you, but please, can you get around my dog? She's really scared right now. I just want to get her back in my arms. Can you please just help me? And they all just snap too. They're like, you got it, man. We're ready to do this.
I love this.
And we all get around her, and I'm like, just get down at her level. Just get down at her level. Put your hand out. And we all get down. And then she jumps up into my arms.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, I'm literally crying, shaking. I tell the boys thanks. And I call my wife and I say, I tell her what happened. And I'm like, that's it.
That's it.
We got to keep her. The thought of knowing what life would have been like without her, I was like, this is it. I need this in my life. She makes me so happy. And I would have been so destroyed if she would have died or ran away anything.
You risk your life for her almost.
Not really, but.
No, but you were making sure that she didn't.
Yeah. I was screaming, man. Red! Red!
That's crying. So fucking beautiful.
Crying. This girl came up to me after because I dropped all my stuff.
Yeah.
And she came up, she's like, are you okay? And I'm like, I don't know. I was like, so crazy. I was like such a basic bitch, but.
How long was this? How long have you had the dog for?
I've had her since April. So this is like second week into having her. And then we reach out to the foster lady and we're like, we want her. I send her money. We get her and all done. Pay her fee.
Wow, that's beautiful.
And we've had her ever since. And she is still a little bit of a scaredy cat, like sometimes, but she's gotten a lot better.
I mean, you're there to protect her.
Yeah.
Cool. Wow, that's fucking beautiful, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, you know what I think about when I see the word Noah?
Yeah.
Or the name Noah?
Yeah.
Kind?
Yeah.
Compassionate? Superhero.
Dog owner.
Dog lover, bro.
Dog lover.
Dog, hey, can I try something with you?
Yeah.
Well, first off, I do think, come to think of it, I think dogs, especially dogs, they have like a really good sense of the world around them. And if you take really good care of them, they will take care of you.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to tell. Really quickly, I had this really good dog named Marcello. My favorite dog.
Growing up. Yeah.
It's so sad he died by getting hit by a car. But anyway, I was walking him one day in this like fucking night. Like in the neighborhood, and we get lost a little bit because I don't know, I get spaced out. It's very quickly, and I felt as if there was like an evil presence around us. I don't know if it was a ghost. I don't know if it was
really?
A stalker. Yeah, I lived in Fallbrook.
And where's that?
It's like in the boonies of San Diego, and the KKK is there.
Got it.
So we're walking, and I get a little lost. And I'm looking for the trail. I'm like, Marcello, do you see the trail? I don't know. I don't, Marcello, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I don't know why I'm talking to him, but I feel like he...
I talk to my dog all the time.
Right. I feel as if he knows what's going on.
Yeah.
And I go, Marcello, I don't want to get hurt tonight. So on the count of three, we're going to run together and you're going to help me lead where this trail ends. I mean, begins, so that way we can get home. And I look at him and I swear to God, he looks at me and I go, one, two, three. And as soon as I say three, he like looks at the road and he just fucking books. And I start running side by side with him. Like,
and he's off leash?
No, we're on the leash. Good. But he's like, because he's leading me. He's leading me.
Yeah.
And we find the trail and we get home.
Oh, wow. Yeah, dogs are smart, but they're also kind of stupid. I've had a history of stomach issues.
You've had an issues of stomach issues?
What I happened? Had a history of stomach issues.
Mm-hmm. What happened?
When I was in college, I went to Prague.
Ooh.
And while in Prague, I had a street dog.
Yeah.
Like a hot dog. And it was tasty, but didn't sit well. And I got very sick from this.
And you pooped your pants?
Hot dog. And I got salmonella. And I pooped my pants many times. And let me tell you something. There's nothing worse than getting any sort of stomach flu or virus while traveling. Because when you're traveling, bathrooms are a currency. There are limited amounts of bathrooms. Sometimes you have to pay for them.
There's a ceiling.
Sometimes you're looking for a bathroom and there's nowhere to be found.
It's like, donde está baño?
Yeah, you go into a place and you're like, hey, can I use your guys' bathroom? Like, we don't have a bathroom. And you're like, okay, what do you guys do? You know?
So you're pooping every hour of the day?
I am pooping. I mean, at this point, I stay in my hostel. I'm like, I'm not leaving because I cannot not have access to a toilet.
You're basically fucking it up.
I am fucking that toilet up.
Yeah.
But at some point, I got to leave Prague, but I still have salmonella.
Oh, my God.
So I'm like, at some point, I got to leave this hostel. So I take my last shit and just make sure I really get it all out.
Yeah.
And then I go to the airport.
Yeah.
Doing okay. I feel an urge. I go to the bathroom. There's a bathroom. All good. Board the plane. And I'm in the middle seat.
Oh, no.
And this is a four-hour flight.
Oh, no.
And I know I'm going to have to go.
No, Noah.
So the guy next to me.
Oh, my God. Don't even.
I'm like, he's got to know.
No, my God. Is you're farting? You have flatulence everywhere?
I'm farting, and I'm going to the bathroom every 15 minutes.
So here's the thing. When you stand up, he can smell your ass, and he knows that your ass smells like shit.
Yes, that's the thing.
You know that happens, like when you know what I'm saying, like.
Yeah, I know that happens.
Have you ever taken off your clothes after shitting a lot, and then you're like, "Why does my fucking pants smell like ass?"
Yes, but I'm out of respect for this man. I'm like, I need to tell him what my situation is.
So you lean over. You're like,
so I lean over. I'm like, "Hey, sir, I'm just letting you know I'm having some stomach problems, and I'm gonna be going to the bathroom a lot." And this guy is Eastern European. He's like, what? Like, he doesn't understand anything I say.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm letting you know that I'm going to be interrupting you a lot to go to the bathroom.
And what did he say?
What? I'm like, sir? I think for a second, I'm like, how do I explain this to him?
How the fuck do you explain this?
I'm like, sir?
Mm-hmm.
Me? And he's like, oh, I get it.
Audio listeners, what he did was Noah put his thumb inside his fucking fist and then just pulled it out
and made a farting noise. And I did that to this guy and he's like, oh, I get it. And then he sees a chair, yeah, an empty seat up ahead of him.
Perfect.
And he's like, I'll move to that. So then I get the whole row and I am going in and out of that bathroom stall maybe 10 times.
Dude, congratulations, bro. And you're able to get this all out.
Here's the thing.
Yes.
I beat it. Salmonella.
Nice.
Came up for me three more times that summer.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Came up to me. I was in summer school, AP economics. I start taking a test. All of a sudden, my stomach just shifts, and I just write C. I just fill in C for the standardized test for the rest of the questions. I'm like, I got to get out of here.
And then you shit your
pants. And I just ran to the toilet and shit my pants.
Wait. So the last time you shit your pants, was, you were 18 years old, 17?
This was, I was 21. You said AP. I was 21.
And you took AP history?
Summer. Economics. It wasn't AP economics. It was just economics. It was a college economics.
Wait, so course. When's the last time, on a serious note, when's the last time you've like shit your pants?
Shit my pants? I think there was another time in college.
Okay, so you're a college man.
I'm dating. Do you want me to tell that story?
No, I don't care.
Okay. I'm dating a girl. It's towards the end of this relationship. And because she, you know, it's senior year and she wants to know, are we dating?
Yeah, are you dating?
Are we serious? We're at her place and I'm like, I don't know if I want a serious relationship. I like you, but I don't know if I want to be a serious relationship. She's like, okay, you could go then.
Yeah.
Earlier in the day, I had, you know, 8 or 9 tacos, 8 or 9 beers at the tailgate.
Oh my God. So basically, as you're breaking up with her, you have to use your toilet.
But I'm not going to ask her. I'm not going to be like, oh, one more thing. Can I just blow up your toilet real quick before I head out of here? So I take off. So I'm like, all right, I'll go. I'm across town from my apartment in college. My phone's dead. I can't call an Uber. So I start walking. And as I'm walking, I am really like, I am not going to make this.
He's leaking.
This is a problem. So then I start to run. Because I'm like, maybe if I run, I'll get there faster.
Why would you run when you're leaking?
I'm not leaking yet. I'm just like really about to explode. And then I managed to find like a dirt patch like hidden from the street. And I just go there.
That's the best.
And then I pull my pants up, don't wipe, walk to my dorm room or my apartment.
So you have your clothes and you throw your clothes away.
And I trip myself, yeah.
I mean, I've done that in Hawaii, like on a hike. I'm like, hey, everyone, I'm about to take a shit. Can everybody leave?
Yeah.
And then you pull down your pants. I'm really glad that you did that.
Yeah.
For me.
I'm really glad you did
that. No, I mean, I shit my pants all the time. I have diarrhea a lot. And, you know, sometimes you do a little fart and then you do a little fart and you just like rip and like poop comes out.
Yeah.
You know, I've been doing that since my 20s. Yeah. My late 20s. I'm being serious.
Anyways.
But when it comes to poop, before we end, I don't know, is... Please. Every time I'm dating someone, I don't know if this happens, but there's two things. I get really proud. I was dating this girl for several, and she always didn't want to poo in front of me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, listen.
My wife and I, we try not to poop in front of each other.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad that happens. But for me, I want them to be so comfortable with their bodies with me.
Yeah.
Because if they begin to poop in front of me, then I know that I can poop like at their family places if I wanted to, you know?
Yeah. So what happened?
So this is what I love to do. So I go, she's like, oh, I got to use the restroom. And I look at her, I'm like, is it one or number two?
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, I don't know if I want to tell you or not. I'm kind of embarrassed. And I'm like, oh, she's going to poop. This is great. Yeah. I'm going to be the supportive boyfriend right now.
Yeah. Poop as much as you want.
You know? Poop so away. When they go into the toilet and they're having a blast in there, you know what I do?
Check in.
I check in, I go, I'm so proud of you. I am so fucking proud of you. And I like go a round of applause. I'm like, congratulations.
You slip notes under the door?
Yeah, no, literally, that's what I do. I slip great a note, work. Like, great work. I like knock on the door, can I open it? They're like, and I'm like, good job, I'm
sure
proud
they don't
of you.
Like that, but.
No, they laugh, they laugh, and they're pooping, and they're laughing. And what that does, it's saying like, hey, I love you, and I support you for everything you do, even when you shit.
I love that.
Yeah. So what I'm basically saying to the crew is, hey, listen, if your girl's pooping in front of you, round of applause.
Hell yeah.
Give them a fucking gift.
Yeah. Salute them.
Yeah. I'm going to do that next time. Ooh, there's some moves that I'm going to do that. Or my move. I have two moves. I don't know. Whatever. Is when we're about to have sex, I'm like, hey, when you come back, I want all your clothes to be off in your bed. And then I close the door and then I'll wait like 30 seconds or like 20 seconds and I'll open them and I'll catch them off guard and then I laugh. Anyway, we had a fun time.
Yeah.
Fun time.
This was good.
Yeah. Where can they find you? Where can they find us, Noah?
They can find me at Noah Built the Ark.
Who built the Ark?
Noah Built the Ark.
That's right.
Yeah. And where can they find you?
You guys can find me at Jonathan Garano. Oh, such a sexy name. All the links are in the description below. We have a Discord. Rate us on Apple Podcasts. Guess what happens? You know this.
Yeah.
You know this by now. If you leave a 5-star review and then also make sure that you put your Instagram handle there, and some people have done it, which is really cool. You know, guess what we do?
we will DM you a video of us.
Yeah.